The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Quick break to tell you guys about NFL Game Pass, the only way that you can replay every game all season long. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. So every game that we're talking about right now, you guys can rewatch it after the fact. I'm going to be going back, and you guys can too. Go check out Lamar Jackson in week one. Go check out Dak Prescott and what that Cowboys offense actually did. Go check out Kyler Murray and his NFL debut. That's my favorite thing about NFL Game Pass. You can go back and watch at any time. And if you haven't watched a condensed game yet, you have to try it out. It's every play from the game back to back to back, so you can replay an entire NFL game in the fraction of the time it normally takes. It's how I'm able to follow all the MVP candidates, all the breakout stars, and, of course, your waiver wire pickups all season long. To see all the action this season and stay on top of all the big storylines, you need NFL Game Pass. Best of all, you can kick off the 2019 NFL season with a 7-day free trial of NFL Game Pass. Just sign up now at NFL.com/ProFootballFocusNFL.
If you have thyroid eye disease and itchy eyes have you itching for a fight, it might be time to discover another treatment option. To learn more, visit TreatMyTED.com. That's TreatMyTED.com.
The official smoked sausage of the college football playoff, Eckrich is the go-to solution for your favorite game day dish. Available in a variety of flavors and forms, Eckrich smoked sausage is versatile enough to be paired with whatever you have on hand so you can create a meal that will satisfy everyone's appetite before focusing on the game. Pick up Eckrich smoked sausage from your local grocer's refrigerated section today. Eckrich will also be offering fans a chance to win $1 million at some of the top college football matchups during the 2019 season. Visit EckridgeFootball.com for more information. PFF Podcast is brought to you by TrueCar. Every car comes with its share of stories. That ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date, the luxury package you got after a big promotion, or the mileage you saved by riding your bike all summer. While you can't put a price tag on your stories, now with TrueCar you can at least find out what your car's worth when it's time to sell or trade it in. Just go to TrueCar, simply enter your license plate number, and watch your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions. Navigation and moonroof? Watch as they bump up your value. High mileage? You already knew it was going to cost you, but now you know how much it dings your wallet so you can plan ahead. Once you're finished, you'll get a TrueCash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. TrueCash offer not available in all areas. Welcome into the PFF NFL Podcast. Steve Palazzolo here with Mike Renner. Mike's in for his draft podcast.
Yeah, back at it. Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah, back from the combine. I have so many takeaways that I'm ready to rip.
Let's do it. Yeah. 'Cause we got Sam's takeaways on Monday. And, you know, people heard some of my takes. And we spent a lot of time on guys like DK Metcalf, Montez Sweat, Rashawn Gary. But let's go beyond that. Let's get right into it. A couple things on today's show. I got a mock draft that came out as of recording time on Thursday. We have the draft guide that is also out here on Thursday, March 7th. That's all part of your PFF Edge or Elite subscription. You guys can get that for as little as $9.99 if you get the Edge monthly subscription. So a lot of big things happen. And we'll, maybe you can make fun of my mock later.
For sure. Yeah, I'd love to.
All right, let's get into your combine takes because you love this more than maybe most of us here.
Yes.
Is that right? What are your takeaways with the combine?
I had a lot of good takeaways. I actually wrote up on the website the biggest risers and the biggest fallers if you want to go through.
Okay, I do want to go through that, but what constitutes a riser or a faller for you when you're looking through this?
I think it's a guy who tests better athletically than maybe you anticipated, or vice versa, worse than you anticipated, or someone who just is an all-around athlete, someone who does well in pretty much every single test and is just, you know, sort of ticks that box to where a lot of the best, a lot of the top players in the NFL also are at the top of, you know, most athletic testing. They're also elite athletes in their own right. So when a guy, you really like his tape, goes to the combine and tests really well athletically, well, that's a good thing that makes you feel more assured in your evaluation of a prospect.
Is that your own fault, though? if you misevaluated it the first time?
Like, I don't think so. No, I mean, this is a check on you. It's, like I said, it has value. It's a check on your own inherent biases. When you think, you know, Andy Isabella is a slot receiver because he's white and 5'7", hey, that's on you to not realize that he runs a 4.31 on
That's not your bias.
Yeah,
you knew.
That's not my bias. I know.
You knew that was happening. All right, let's go through some of the guys that you said were the biggest winners, because regardless of how we move guys on the board, there are winners and losers. There are guys that teams will covet more or less because of their performances at the combine. Let's go through some of your winners at the combine.
Yeah, so I had started off with Noah Fant. I think this tight end class contentious to be who's the first one off the board, and he went to the combine and he tested better than everyone else there athletically, pretty much across the board. 4.5 40, 39.5-inch vertical, 10.7 broad, 6.81 cone, all those elite numbers. I mean, that puts him in the upper echelon of tight ends athletically, even at the NFL level. At that point, I mean, tight end's such an athleticism biased position in my mind. The guys with the potential at the position are the ones who are the most athletically, the big guys that can run. You can teach to, you know, run routes more than you can teach a 4.9 guy to be able to get down the field. So
he definitely looked fast on film anyway. Yes. I mean, he runs the seam and all that stuff. They put him and Hawkinson on the same side every now and again. Mm-hmm. I love that, you know, with the two verts on the same side. He always reminds me a little bit of Eric Ebron because of the athleticism. Ooh, and the
don't put
the
that
drops.
On. Yeah, the drops are bad. That's why I said in the end of the article, if he can out, if there was a hands portion where he could show that off more, and they, you know, counted it at the combine, which they don't.
You can't offset the...
But yeah, 11 drops, 80 catchable passes the last two seasons is not good. Yes.
You have Devin Bush on here, the linebacker from Michigan. We've always kind of had him as a fringe first-round pick. Here's a crazy question. Is he the better Devin at linebacker?
That is an honest... I think there's an actual conversation to be had there that people saw this sort of chasm to it between the two. And if you look at mock drafts, it's basically Bush, his ceiling or his floor was basically the Bengals. He wouldn't pass the Bengals in basically any mock draft. And then Devin Bush, you would see him later in the first, sometimes not even the first at all. And truthfully, athletically, there was no difference between the two. They had pretty much the same numbers, 4.43 40 for Devin Bush, 40.5-inch vertical, 10.4 broad, 6.93 cone, all just like peak athletic numbers for a linebacker. And on tape, he didn't get used in coverage a lot because he was used so much as a blitzer, which I think is maybe the difference between them. White a lot more in coverage, but he makes a lot of plays around the football field that a lot of other linebackers can't make.
He makes explosive plays on the ball when it's in front of him, flies to the ball in the run game, and a lot of his pass rush prowess, you know, the numbers that go into his pass rushing, a lot of that was him playing a little bit of a spy role, a little bit of what Jabril Peppers did, you know, late pressures, pursuit pressures, and stuff like that. But he is an excellent blitzer.
Yes.
And I do, you know, I put him to the Baltimore Ravens in my mock draft, which I think would be a great fit for the way they like to use their backers.
I agree.
CJ Mosley's on the open market.
I agree. Up next, I had Brian Burns, Florida State edge defender. The biggest thing for me, he was one I had, I think he even said on this podcast before, I just wanted to know how much he weighed because he looked skinny at Florida State. And I wanted to know how much he weighed and was he able to. He obviously knew he had to gain weight, so was he able to maintain high-level athleticism at that weight? Probably chug some water to get up to 249, but 249 is still a good weight for an edge defender, and he's still, you know, only a junior, growing into his body. Will get even bigger than that, and then he runs a 4.53, 36-inch vertical, 10.9 broad, and a cone, 7.01. All excellent, excellent numbers, all tick that sort of threshold that you want to see athletically for an edge guy. So for that second group, I had said him, Farrell, Polite needed to sort of separate themselves with their testing, and I think we saw a pretty good spread in the testing of those three at the combine. Burns very much on top
because they all graded similarly, and again, when we're doing this, the grade's still going to make up the majority of the evaluation. That has to at least get us in the ballpark.
Yes.
And then the athleticism can move guys up and down a little bit. Burns, a breakout 2018 season, very good pass rusher, third in the nation in pressures.
Yeah, so we're high on him now.
There's your guy.
Here's my guy, Jerry Tillery. We haven't heard much hype about him, but he goes to the combine. We were obviously super high on him. I think he's a top 10 player in this class, has a better pass rush grade than Quinn Williams. He goes there, has a 1.69 10 split, the second best 10 split among the defensive tackle class. 7.45 cone, 4.33 shuttle. Those are excellent change of direction numbers for a tall, long guy like him. Usually they struggle in the change of direction sort of testing. So for him to be able to do that with his pass rushing moves, I just think there is a sort of a precedent for guys that have his skill set. Tall, long, with pass rushing skills, with multiple pass rushing moves, that translates to the NFL.
I was a 4-4 shuttle guy, by the way.
Steve, what was your pass rushing skill set like?
Oh, not as good as Jerry Tillery's. I was a 4-4 shuttle guy at about 6'10", 270 at the time. Hmm. Maybe 275.
They should have had you at second base.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I could turn it, dude. If you saw me play a little short in second through the years, I get good hands.
I would say first, you have that catch radius at first.
No. Bad ball skills.
Oh, damn.
Jerry Tillery, that 1.69 10-yard split. What was Chris Jones? 171?
1.7 flat.
1.7. So you've made the Chris Jones comparison before, and he was the guy that we loved the film. Mm-hmm. We loved the grading. He went to the combine at about 305 or so, I think it was, ran the 1.7 10-yard.
Yeah.
And has this, so a guy that had strength on film, also has this burst in the workout. Like a lot of these things, when you piece them all together,
yep,
bode well for Tillery.
Yes.
In his projection.
Very well.
That's where.
Tested better than pretty much any other D tackle there besides Quinnen, but Quinnen really only did the 40. So that, I mean, that's a big W for him. I think he should be moving up draft boards. I mean, he's already high on R, so he's not going to be moving up much, but I feel very secure in him being a good NFL player.
Is this whole thing confirmation bias, or is this just that you're just so good at seeing these guys on film, like Andy Isabella being on the winner's list?
No, this was more guys who were not going to be guys who I haven't seen mocked like high in drafts.
Yeah,
guys who have been mocked later in the first or second round, who then went there and basically solidified whatever position they were in and could be moving up board. So someone like Montez Sweat, I've seen him mock fifth overall going to the combine. I didn't put him on this winner's list. He's already won in a lot of people's eyes, similar to Devin White, just other guys who have been mocked highly, tested well. You expect that. So that's why this list is the way it is. That's why Andy Isabella is next up on the list. 1.45, 10-time, 4.31. He put a lot of the haters to rest with those numbers, sub-7.3 cone. I mean, tested
Brandon Cook's comp is looking good for you right now.
Yes, and I think 188 pounds he did it at, which is solid for a 5'7 receiver. That is well-built. That's, you know.
Does he make it into the late first round?
No, zero chance. People just don't. People don't want that. That people don't want it, just optics of it. He's going to be a second rounder, I would bet.
Let's leave it at that. Leave it at that. Jamel Dean, the cornerback from Auburn. He's an interesting one because he graded really well for us in 2017 in our preseason evaluations. Mm-hmm. We're looking at him, and you wrote it, you know, looks like a linebacker. Who's this linebacker out there covering?
I mean, he plays almost like a linebacker, too, in terms of just like he just hits guys at the line.
Doesn't Carlton Davis last year's teammate.
So just underdeveloped in terms of having to mirror routes and having to break on routes because it was just how they coached him there was to just chuck wide receivers at any point in the route. He just never lets his hands off wide receivers. It's so frustrating to watch. You're just like, this is never going to happen. At the NFL level, you don't know how athletic they are because they don't even they're never having to catch up with guys because they're always just holding on to them. But then he goes there, runs a 4.3, and there are plays on tape where you see him make up ground in a hurry. I think he lost some weight to go to the combine because he looked like a linebacker, but only came in at 206.
I think he was listed at 215, and looked at
he looked big, and probably dropped some weight. Blazes a 40, ridiculous vertical, 41 vertical, 10-10 broad jump. I mean, that's as good as it gets. Cone was a little over 7. The cone and the shuttle were still not in Trey Wayne's territory of bad movement skills. Wasn't elite by any means, but those numbers are. It made me go back and rewatch, and I still have serious concerns about just ball skills and awareness in general, but there's just a lot to work with at that point.
So he's one of those guys, we like him probably as a third-round prospect. Mm-hmm. Does he go in the second? Does he creep into the first?
I would bet he goes. I'd be hard-pressed to see him falling out of the second at this point with those testing
numbers. With that type of size and speed, the change of direction, though, definitely a question. David Long, the cornerback from Michigan on your list. Michigan corners always end up having really good numbers for us as far as statistics go, and Long is one of them as well.
I was going to say, could have been the other David Long also, the linebacker from West Virginia. He tested well. But this David Long, Michigan corner, he was the change of direction drill guy this year, like Kevin King was a couple years ago. 6.45 cone, which is one of the fastest of all time. And then a 3.97 shuttle, both just excellent numbers. They both led all players at the combine invited this year. So change of directions, legit. Only 9 catches gave up all season long. Another guy, we're going to have to go back and reevaluate this tape with that in mind because those are a lot of the Michigan corners in years past have come to the combine tested poorly athletically. He was on the opposite end of that spectrum, which is interesting.
Yeah, and we don't, the same school scouting can get you into trouble if you say, this guy reminds me directly of this guy. So it's not like, hey, here's David Long. He reminds me of Jordan Lewis, or he reminds me of whichever other Michigan corner. But sometimes you can glean stuff the way they play and stylistically. And Michigan corners get a little grabby sometimes, and those are the types of things. They get away with some stuff. Those are the tough things that are tough to sort out, like the Jamel Dean stuff you're talking about at corner. How much is this guy playing the college game, and how much can he get away with that at the next level? I think David Long is in that boat a little bit.
Yes, I would agree.
Paris Campbell.
Paris Campbell, I mean, he every single drill off the charts. 4.3, 140, 40-inch vertical, 11.3 broad jump, 4.03 shuttle, just elite numbers across the board, about as good athletically as you can get at the combine. The weird thing is he was a slot receiver at Ohio State. It's the tough eval. He plays slot.
Catch and run.
Never got targeted down the field. 21 targets, 10-plus yards down the field, just nothing. They did not utilize that speed in any sort of capacity. So a lot of projection with Paris Campbell.
He's really good with the ball in his hands.
Yes.
They used him in the jet sweep game and you know, the jet tap pass game. And so I think he can do that at the next level.
That's about as good an athlete as you'll see in the NFL.
Tyreek Hill-like.
That is explosive, yeah.
That type of usage pattern.
And he's big. Like, he's 6'1", 203, I think he came in at.
So he's much bigger than Tyreek Hill, but I think an NFL team could use him on the gadget stuff first while developing him as a downfield receiver, given those numbers.
Agreed. All right. Juan Thornhill was up next. Safety from Virginia. 44-inch vertical, 11.9 broad jump, 4.42, 40 and 21 bench reps. The explosive numbers right there, off the charts. That's, you know, Byron Jones at the combine a few years back. That's that sort of level of elite explosiveness. Five picks this past year. That's good ball skills for a safety. That's a lot to work with. He's moving up our board.
Fair to say that the safety class in general, growing on us a little bit more. I think it's similar to the corners.
Yeah.
Deontay Thompson
was losing money by not working out and seeing someone like
the Alabama safety who, you know, was getting top 10 hype from us as well throughout much of the season, but his play tapered off. His tackling was really poor during the season, and some of these other guys looking like really good athletes and versatile safeties. And the safety market in the NFL, it's a whole different podcast. It's just disappearing.
Falling off the map. No one wants anyone who plays coverage anymore.
I don't think it should be, though. I mean, I can understand box safeties. So, real quick, if you're overcorrecting for teams like drafting Matt Elam a couple years ago, a box safety who couldn't cover all that well, I can understand that. But letting a guy like Landon Collins, who has coverage ability, or an Earl Thomas, or an Adrian Amos, and these guys, LaMarcus Joyner, these guys hit the market, that's the risky part. I can understand the Jonathan Cyprians of the world, or the Matt Elams of the world, the box safeties, maybe not getting, you know, much recognition on the open market.
But it seems like everyone wants to play three safeties nowadays, too.
Right.
Everyone wants their nickel safety or dime safety or that sort of thing. Everyone wants a third safety on the field, but no one wants to actually pay him, which is an interesting.
So Thornhill's another one of those guys he's a former cornerback. Mm-hmm. You know, that adds a little bit of that versatility as well.
Last guy, Blake Cashman. Minnesota, 4'5", 37.5-inch vertical, 10'4 broad, 6'9", 5 cone. A step behind maybe Devin White and Devin Bush athletically, but not too big of a step. And his tape is right up there in terms of production. Had a 90-plus grade this past season.
Tiny little
T-Rex arms, unfortunately. But I don't think it's going to limit him.
I think the arm thing, you know, it used to matter with, you know, stacking and shedding and taking on blocks in the run game. Still, obviously,
does
a factor. I look at it more as how much range are you adding in coverage. If you're going to be a zone dropper, you know, if you can get your hands on a pass that another guy can't, that's the place where I feel like that comes into play more in today's NFL that it matters.
Luke Kuechly, though, 31-inch arms. Cashman, 30 and an eighth inch. They're not too far off. Kuechly got little.
Well, the thing is, if you're athletic and you are further,
you can make up for him. Yeah.
If you're in the right position, then you're good.
All right. Some fallers?
Yeah.
We got run through
fallers.
Draymond Jones. I'll just run through these guys. Draymond Jones shows up one smaller than expected, 281. Can't do that, which means he probably chugged water to get to 281 because he knew he was going to be 281. That's not good.
He'd be 290.
I know. And then 5'1", 240, 7'7", 1 cone are just like, that's not an athletic DT.
Right.
He's not even a DT at 281. He's a D end. And then that's just awful.
And the bigger issue for him is he's competing with a lot of different guys in that first and second round range on the interior.
I wouldn't be surprised if he falls third, fourth at this point. It's just ugly. Chikai Polite, maybe the worst combine of anyone, 4.8, 4.40 after people are talking about him in like the 4.5 range. And that looks like he plays
territory.
He just looks awful.
from Florida.
But looks extremely, just those numbers, 32-inch vertical, are not explosive numbers for an edge rusher. Those are dreadful numbers for an edge rusher. He's, I can't be a first rounder after something like that.
What's with Florida guys having these rough combines?
I don't know.
Then you have other schools, like Penn State's tearing it up. Certain schools just have guys coming in and
that is true.
Crushing it.
It's the preparation.
Yep.
Although Greg Gabriel will tell you, it's all a scam. They don't know what they're doing. Like Byron Murphy, he paid so much money and still runs a 4.55.
Was he so sad that he went? That he ran so slow? Was it him or Baker?
Sad about Baker, but Baker ran 4.53. 4.55 is just at the back end of a cornerback class. If you're trying to, Byron Murphy, be the first cornerback off the board, running a 4.55, not doing you any favors there.
Yeah, you want to be in the 4.4s at least.
Malik Gantt, the Marshall safety, already looked like a box safety. Now he pretty much proved it. 4.6, 3.40, and then this one, 7.45 cone for a safety is atrocious. That's the one you want to be good at if you're a safety. You want to be able to change directions.
Yep.
That's not change directions. Well, Elijah Holyfield, Georgia running back, 4.78, and stiff. I mean, like, he looks stiff on tape, and then he stands up straight out of his stance. No flexibility there. I'm off him. I'm off him.
You're all off, right. Elijah.
Devin Singletary, FAU running back. This isn't a kiss of death by any means, but a 4.6, 6.40. He's just going to drop in the draft. I still think he's going to be a productive
back. But his change
back.
Of direction wasn't great either, and he's the guy that forced a ton of missed tackles. Yeah. You didn't expect to see that.
Forced a ton of missed tackles at the college level, but it's one of those things where it's like he's going at FAU, playing against bad competition. A lot of guys are going to break a lot of tackles against that. Is he going to translate with his poor change of direction drills? Maybe, maybe not. I'm not off of him, but that's just going to fall in the draft. Riley Ridley. Already didn't have the production in our grading system. The Georgia wide receiver only runs a 4.58, only has a 30.5-inch vertical, and 7.33 cone, 4.28 shuttle at 6'1", 199. Just didn't come in big, didn't look athletic, and for the production on tape, it's one of those things where, yeah, you might like his route running, his ball skills, but compared to the other wide receivers in this class, he was just at the very bottom athletically. So
that's the issue for a lot of these guys. Deep positions like wide receiver, interior defensive line, corner, safety. When you're trying to separate a bunch of guys in the second, third, fourth round range, the combine times, I know for the NFL especially, are going to become tiebreakers. But even for us, when we're trying to sort out these guys and how they won and how they're going to translate, there are things we have to take into consideration.
Yes, exactly.
You still want the tape to trump everything. But like you said, it's just this, it's added context.
Yes.
Because sometimes, your eyes can lie, especially you watch 25 receivers in a row and stuff like that. Sometimes your eyes can lie a little
bit.
And
here's the guy who's up next is one of those. LJ Collier, TCU. At the college level, he was a very good bull rusher and was consistently dominant as a bull rusher, but he's going up against college offensive linemen when he's bull rushing. And then he goes to the combine. Yes, 283, that's big. That's good. That's a tick in his box for a defensive end. But 4.9, 140 is just for that size. 30-inch vertical, 9.10 broad jump, and then 7.71 cone and 4.78 shuttle. It doesn't give the indication of an explosive guy who the bull rush is going to work consistently for him at the NFL level. Right. So you could do it at the college level because he was technique-wise had it, but the explosiveness has to be there at the NFL level to be a consistent bull rusher. It just doesn't look like it with him. So that's a worry then in his corner.
Yeah, looking through, we did a fun little exercise on the pod the other day when you weren't here, and I went through trying to add context to all these grades, right? And I broke down Ed Oliver and said, okay, how often did he rush at zero tech nose versus, non-nose tackle positions? You can kind of see the grade, why it was a little bit lower, because he got screwed by the nose tackle thing. I think our pass rush grades, seeing how often a guy wins to the outside, to the inside, and as a bull rusher, I think what we've found is the guys who have a diverse skill set as far as their win percentages, say, in college, they translate best at the NFL. If you have a weakness, if you don't have an inside move that shows up in college, or if you don't have any power, if you can't win as a bull rusher in college, that's a major red flag.
Yes.
That's where the lighter guys, the Leonard Floyds and Vic Beasleys, maybe haven't translated from an efficiency standpoint as well as you'd like, because they weren't winning with power in college, and they could only win to the outside. You really want those guys, like a Trey Flowers we keep harping on. He had a really good distribution of wins in college. And I think that's part of the reason why he translated at the next level.
I agree. Yeah, I think that's a very important skill set.
We have those breakdowns in the draft guide where guys win. And it's I think it's important context. So get your draft guide, PFF Edge or Elite. You can also get your Elite Edge Monthly. Just get in get in and get out if you want. That's what you can do.
Those are very good numbers. They're very insightful numbers that I would highly recommend. Last guy, though, on the list to talk about, David Edwards, Wisconsin tackle. The offensive line is probably offensive tackle, just anywhere along the offensive line is where probably athleticism matters the least. I'll say you just get the broad spectrum of, you'll have freak athletes like Tyron Smith running 4.7s, you know, benching all this, and then you'll have trash athletes like Travis Frederick running 5.6s, terrible change direction ability, and also be, you know, all both elite players at their respective position. So it's not a kiss of death by any means. It's not limiting. But when a guy like David Edwards, not a powerful tackle at Wisconsin by any means, wins with technique, wins with one look like with athleticism there, goes to the combine and does not put up good athletic drills. You know, 4.77 shuttle is not, I mean, it's average, and he's a guy who looked like he should be above average in that regard. 25.5 inch vertical, just not explosive player at all. That's when it's worrisome. It's when a guy looked like he was a good athlete on tape and then it's he wasn't actually. So is that meh athleticism going to come back to haunt him at the NFL level? It's worth questioning.
And another guy like Edwards, who could be anywhere in that second to fourth round range at best, and you know sorting him out of that other group of that second, third tier tackles, that doesn't do him any favors. So
there you have it,
guys. Those are all your losers?
Yes, my losers.
Yeah. It's all at profootballfocus.com. That's what I'm looking for. It's all over there. Mm-hmm. Good job, Mike.
Thank you.
But yeah, you were locked in watching these workouts all weekend.
Mm.
It is fascinating. We won't get into the interview stuff that comes out of it. You missed the grit test that I did with Sam.
Or that
he did not. He refused to do the grit test with me.
It's probably because he's not gritty enough.
Right.
Yeah, he was scared.
He was, but he thinks that the right move is
he's off my board.
Well, he thinks that the right move is to not deny the grit test. Mm. If you just shut her down.
What if you blink one eye? You just like give him a wink halfway through.
Man, I wish. I'm not even going to put you through the grit test because I won't know how to evaluate it.
Yeah.
And I already know you're gritty.
Thank you.
Look at you talking. I mean, if you can roll in here with a man bun and start talking about offensive linemen, the grit is just oozing off of you, Mike. So we're not going to even test it. Do you want to get into some mock drafting?
Let's do some mock. Let's get through some of the notables.
Yeah, I'll go through some of the notable guys. Again, I always like to do, I'm the GM. What would I do?
Yeah.
So it's not going to look like a traditional mock. Try to give you an idea of player value. What stood out to you as you're looking at my mock?
So number one, you had Kyler Murray. You go Kyler Murray. You think he is an upgrade from Josh Rosen, or you wouldn't be drafting Kyler Murray at number one overall. Or maybe you would if you didn't think it was an upgrade. You just want your more shots at the proverbial dartboard. So what's the deal with Rosen here? What do you do with Rosen if you're the Cardinals? You're drafting Murray. Are you keeping both? Or are you trading one?
I think you try to flip him, but you don't sacrifice value. Rumors that you're getting a third rounder back. Like, I'm not giving Rosen up for a third rounder.
Where do you? What's the cutoff?
I want a first rounder for him.
First rounder.
And I think a team like the Dolphins or the Redskins, where there's only two viable top 10 quarterbacks, Kyler Murray and Dwayne Haskins. I think the Dolphins or the Redskins, instead of taking a Drew Lock, a Daniel Jones, or anyone else, are better off giving up a first for Josh Rosen. I think he's a better player. I don't think he lost any value in that terrible situation. Maybe a touch of value last year.
Yeah.
In that situation with Arizona, but you lose 1 year of his rookie contract compared to these other guys, but you don't have to pay the signing bonus, all these things, even out to Josh Rosen, still worth a first rounder.
It would crack me up if the Cardinals trade Josh Rosen, not for a first rounder this year, but for next year. So they're like betting on him being bad next year and getting a high draft pick back. They're like, oh, yeah, we'll give it, not this year, though. We want a 2021. So the year after you start him, we're going to get that pick. But that's the one we want. That would crack me up. But I think they'll go for
Trotty. And then they draft Tua to compete with Kyler.
They keep getting the number one overall pick.
And then they flip one, get the next year's first rounder, and then you get Trevor Lawrence. You got to keep, this is it. Cardinals, give me a call. We're going to continue to trade and manipulate first round picks until we get to Trevor Lawrence, the crown jewel in the class of 2021. Does any NFL team have that type of long-term planning?
No.
Every other business has a good 5-year plan. The NFL is like, no, we'll give you a 1.5-year plan, and that's it. That's all you get.
Josh McCown's our starter.
Josh McCown. He's going to take us this year.
All right.
Kyler. There's a whole video on YouTube here where I'm talking to George and Eric. We talk about this whole Kyler situation. I think it's a great... It's the type of conversation that we have here in the PFF offices about the numbers that they're running, quarterback value, all these different things. There's a lot of those videos going up on YouTube, so check them out.
So Murray 1, obviously Bosa, number 2, no-brainer to the 49ers. Quinn in 3 to the Jets, no-brainer. Josh Allen, 4 Raiders.
They would
Raiders.
Tell you it is not a no-brainer.
Okay, well, that's because it's a no-trade mock. So
it's a no-trade mock.
Their thing is trade down for someone to get a QB, but no trades, that's the one. 5's the pick that we just keep going back to because there's such a difference between Bosa, Williams, Allen, and then whoever's there at 5 is going to be a big gap. You go DeAndre Baker, and you actually have 3 corners going in the top 10. DeAndre Baker, 5, Greedy Williams, 8, Byron Murphy, 9. Yeah,
so the 3 corners, if you guys saw our behind-the-scenes discussion of the draft board, we don't have a major difference between DeAndre Baker, Greedy Williams, and Byron Murphy from a grading standpoint. Schematically, Murphy's great at zone, Greedy Williams great in man coverage and press, Baker's a little bit of both. Baker and Murphy were both 4.5 in the 4.5s. Mm-hmm. They're not exceptional straight-line athletes. Greedy ran a little bit faster. There's just not a Jalen Ramsey or a Marshawn.
A lot faster. 4.37 is a lot faster than 4.53.
Well, that's fine, but he's not as good at football.
Yeah, okay. I'm
that's the difference with Greedy Williams versus Byron Murphy and DeAndre Baker. Not as good at playing football.
Well, you said it's a little faster. It's a lot faster.
He's a lot faster. Thank you for specifying. I take away your grit test wins. So I have a tough time sorting out these corners, but I think they're all worth that risk in the top 10 that they could hit. So that's where I am with them.
On that, and I agree.
Dwayne Haskins at 6 to the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's...
That one looks... Haskins are locked to the Giants, I think is going to happen. I think the Giants will draft a QB this year.
They should want Haskins.
Yeah, Haskins, I think. Jonah Williams, 7 to the Jaguars. They just...
Didn't love that either.
That one's a tough fit. It's fitting anyone in there because they really don't have holes defensively. Offensively, it's just wide receiver. Like they need like 3 of them at this point. So, and obviously at guard, they could have a need. So Jonah Williams, guard to tackle, sort of transition at some point in his career there if he does get drafted. I would not hate that. Already got the top 9. Ed Oliver at 10, that high.
Yeah. I'm starting to talk myself back into Ed Oliver. Again, the study that we did on, you know, how often he had to rush from nose tackle when he did get opened up and got to rush against guards and not face double teams as much. He was more efficient, did improve this year. I like to think I'm not getting too swayed by the fact that he weighed in at 287, but it's swaying me a little bit the fact that all year they said he's playing at 270. So even if it's all water weight, he's still at least 280, right?
He weighs in at 287 and then didn't test, actually. So, like, didn't test at the combine, didn't do any of the athletic.
Oh.
Besides, so
plus, look.
Besides the vertical,
Ed sent us this.
Yeah,
he sent us this bobblehead before the year. So, you know, I'm going to put him in the top 10.
I think it's a need for the Broncos. I'm not going to say it's a bad pick. And then 11, Devin White, Bengals, the pick that's going to be every mock. I mean, that's just need fit. 12, Jerry Tillery, Packers. Talked ad nauseum about Tillery. You know, I love that pick.
Love that
and
pick.
They have a need there. Across from Mike Daniels on that base front. Andre Dillard, 13, the Dolphins. This one we discussed earlier about Dolphins need a right tackle. And Juwan Taylor played right tackle. Andre Dillard played left tackle. You have Juwan Taylor going 16 in the Panthers, who need probably a left tackle. And so the
Panthers need both tackles.
Any sort of like cognizant being like, these guys are close on your board. For the Dolphins here, they're close on your board. Dillard and Taylor.
Take the guy that's used to playing right tackle.
You take the guy that's used to playing right tackle?
If it's a tiebreaker, yes.
Okay.
If it's a tiebreaker, yes. But at the same time, I know offensive linemen say it's really tough to switch positions.
Mm-hmm.
We do see it all the time.
Yeah.
Almost every good right tackle in the NFL played left tackle in college at some point.
Yeah, I mean, that's usually where the better tackle
is. It's not like this is an impossible move. I compare it to moving from shortstop to second base. It's a different view. It's a different skill set. But if you're good at playing shortstop, you'll probably be good at playing second base, and you'll be okay over time.
All right, on to 14, Christian Wilkins, Falcons. That one's pretty self-explanatory.
Just trying to get the Clemson D-line.
Gray Jarrett, yeah. Even though Gray Jarrett's there, I think they still need a lot of help. They were better when they had Poe and him.
Yeah, Wilkins can move around the front a little bit, too.
Redskins, he might even be better at nose than anywhere else. True. Redskins, Brian Burns, edge rusher. I think he might even be gone by then when it's all said and done after how he tested. But definitely need Preston Smith, probably gone.
The key here is that the Dolphins, so the Broncos, Dolphins, and Redskins, who all need a quarterback, despite the Broncos trading for Flacco, no quarterback I'm willing to take here. So I'm going to just continue to build the roster and flip second and third round to figure out quarterbacks in this scenario.
17, Browns, Jeffrey Simmons. That one, we said he's higher than that talent-wise. dropping him down some for the injury, but not a ton, because one, he could play this next year, even with how early his ACL was, and two, he's top to talent. He's worth the pick, and we just think he'll be good. Modern medicine, you know, that
big
sort of
need
thing.
And fits from a value standpoint.
18, Dalton Risner to the Vikings. It's always going to be O-line, but you want Risner over Ford. A lot of people have Ford going there.
Yeah, I think Risner projects a little bit better for us. I think he could play guard or center if he needed to, but the fact that he could step in at right tackle, play guard, love his strength, and think he'll scares me a little bit in pass protection because the Big 12, you don't get challenged a ton, and his kick step's not the prettiest thing in the world, but kind of like Zach Strief with the Saints for years, just kind of big dude who got the job done. I think Risner could be that guy.
That's not a bad comp. On to 19, where it's the DK Metcalf Titans, probably just not going to happen realistically. It's one of those PFF specials.
Stop telling me this isn't going to happen.
He's just not going to fall that far. I mean, if you're a Titans fan, you open up this mock draft and you're like, well.
But this is going to be the key. Look, if Corey Davis is going to go to the Hall of Fame, you need a nice deep threat like DK Metcalf on the other side to open things up, and all of a sudden Corey Davis, 140 catches a year, it's just to catch up to his pace.
He needs to.
He'll start breaking reception records.
I'm not going to say the fit, need, whatever. That lines up perfectly. I just don't think he'll be there realistically.
Fine.
20 Steelers, JJ Arcega-Whiteside.
I love this fit for
That'd
Big Ben.
That'd be great,
Arcega-Whiteside, combination of body control and box out ability. I think there's two different ways to win contested catches. He owns both of them. He can make the spectacular catch. He could also just shield his body.
Back shoulder king of this class. And that's low key. Ben Roethlisberger has taken over as one of the best back shoulder throwers in the NFL.
Ben will give him opportunities.
They do a lot of that. All right, 26, Cleveland Farrell. It's 21, edge 21, Cleveland Farrell to the Seahawks. This was the Jakai Polite pick that now belongs to Cleveland because Polite trashed the combine. Farrell, they still have a big need there, even with franchising Frank Clark. And I think that actually you get two base ends there.
Their pass rush grade has gone down every year since 2013. Farrell and Clark on opposite sides make a ton of sense.
Yeah. 22, Devin Bush. You already talked about this earlier.
Love his fit there.
Love the
Ravens
fit there in terms of CJ Mosley. Probably gone at this point. Texans, Cody Ford, number 23. Probably stick him in a right tackle and pray he doesn't have to be moved to guard.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's how bad the offensive line is. I debated between Ford and the next pick, Amani Oruwariye, because I still think, despite the Texans winning,
they're old.
The AFC secondary. South. The secondary, questions. Offensive line, questions. Would a guy like Oruwariye trump Ford just because of the positional value and playing corner? Maybe, but I went with Ford to the Texans, and then Oruwariye goes to the Raiders for their second defensive pick.
Raiders get Amani Oruwariye, and then at 27, Raiders also get TJ Hockenson, the tight end out of Iowa.
Yeah, I think he was getting top 10 hype. I thought that was a little rich, but the best all-around tight end in the draft, can run block a little bit, can run the seam, shifty, nifty route runner. I think that's a good fit for the Raiders.
That'd be a nice Hockenson, Oruwariye, and Josh Allen for the Raiders. That's a nice first-round haul. Eagles get A.J. Brown, the Ole Miss wide receiver, the other Ole Miss wide receiver who, himself tested out
Are people sleeping on him too much?
I think so. I think he's very solid.
Because he's not the biggest. He's not the fastest. He's not the best contested catch guy. He's not the best slot. He's not the best outside receiver, but he's really good at all those things.
I think he's the best route runner in this class, if I had to say.
Yeah.
He's very shifty at the break point. Very creative. And he's big. Like, he's not the biggest.
He's very
big. 226 at 6'1 is a rock solid wide receiver. He's just going to be tough for your your run of the mill 5'11, 190 pound wide receiver to stick with because of, how physical he is.
Anquan Boldin comps are out there every single year.
Yeah,
but that is a Anquan Boldin body type, at least.
Yeah, he reminded me of a actually strong Davante Adams. Davante Adams, freakishly athletic in terms of vertical, in terms of his shiftiness. That's A.J. Brown.
Then he should be in the top 15, if you're telling me that.
But I think he's even stronger than Davante Adams.
Then he should be up in the top 15. He should be wide receiver one.
I don't hate on it. I mean,
we might need to debate this again, redo our wide receiver rankings.
You gotta go watch some more tape with me. All right. 26, we have Justin Lane. Steve's my guy this week, the cornerback out of Michigan State. Steve's been really high on him after watching him this week. Going to the Colts.
Justin Lane, my guy this week. I don't think I've done this yet. I don't think I've hyped up Justin Lane. No, I think he's one of those guys first-round player on a team like the Colts board who plays a ton of zone, maybe not as high on teams that play a lot of press man, but good size, former wide receiver, the whole thing. He's my guy.
Yeah.
This week.
The more I watch him, the more he's my guy, too.
Thank you.
I'd take him at the end of the first.
We can
I
share.
For sure would. There's obviously some concerns, but I do like his length and athleticism. Ran 4.5. I said I could see him going sub 4.5, just barely. 4.5 on the dot. Love to see that, though.
Love when you guess correctly.
28, Chargers, Nasir Adderley. This one and the Devin White one, they're not
gotta
changing.
Got to give him the center they're fielder.
Not, I don't think you're going to change these, any of the future mocks.
Never want
probably.
To. I don't want to change Byron Murphy to the Bills.
And Murphy the Mill. Jeez, Murphy to the Bills, probably Reisner to the Vikings. Those seem set in stone at this point.
I might just leave the mock as it is. I'm just going to keep rolling out the same mock.
No mock draft 5. All right. I mean, the free agency is going to happen. We're going to need a mock draft.
Well, we need the clicks. You know, people need to click on it, so we'll do.
Steve, you're never supposed to say that. It's supposed to be like a wink and a
nudge. Oh, sorry. That's not why we do it. It's good content. It's fun. You guys need to follow it.
30, Packers, Andy Isabella. You just gave me my guys to the Packers.
Wait, did you skip Taylor Rapp?
Yes. 29, Chiefs, Taylor Rapp.
He's a safety. Versatile safety.
Versatile safety. Only 2 missed tackles all year.
Yeah. I was debating reaching for a corner, quote-unquote reaching, going for the value position. I wouldn't hate that for the Chiefs. There's a whole bunch of corners in the second round that I think they could grab late first, but Rapp's at least helping their back end in coverage. And then, the Packers at 30 took Isabella, two of your guys going to the Green Bay Packers.
Speed. They need some speed in that receiving core. Valdez Scantling was not even a good, that necessarily great wide receiver, and he already added something to that offense with how fast he was and how much he could get down the field. Isabella, even faster, even better as a deep threat, can play that sort of split time from the slot and outside, move him around the formation, give him some jet sweeps, that sort of thing.
Also, weapon. Those quick flat
OW.
Routes that Rodgers likes. I know it's a different scheme, but if they keep that quick flat route that Rodgers likes to throw, he's got 4.3 speed with running back skills. He could do well with those two.
It's fun. 31, Elgton Jenkins, Mississippi State center to the Rams. I really like this pick, actually. Everyone sort of pencils in edge there. I think they go.
I'd been going edge left and right, but now they let John Sullivan walk. Offensive line's been so important for the Rams' success. Mm-hmm. Just kind of keep that flowing, keep it young, because Whitworth is getting old at left tackle. Sullivan, we knew, was getting old and would be gone soon. They need that influx of youth to keep that O-line going. So,
like that one. Then 32, Patriots, Zach Allen, BC.
Such a Patriots
edge defender.
Power player. Same skill set as Trey Flowers. Not saying he's as good, but similar skill set.
Versatile in terms of can play edge, can play inside.
Yeah. This one I debated the Patriots getting their QB of the future. For me, it could have been a Will Greer, could have been a Drew Lock, get that fifth year. But I could see that if the right QB falls and the Patriots don't mind, because they have so many picks in the top 100, they could take a QB at 32 if they like him.
Zach Allen at 200, I think it was 85 pounds in the combine, 165 10 time. That's a very good time for that size. Now, it's 40 stunk, 5.0, but
people are
you don't run that much.
J.J. Watt comps for him.
Okay, obviously.
That's crazy, right?
That's crazy, no. He's more Croy Bierman than J.J. Watt. He's more he's more Aaron Campman, go back in the day. But
Bierman was smaller than I thought, than it seemed like he was on the field. Is that right? Was he in like the 240s?
Maybe I'm not thinking. Maybe not.
It's the right guy because he felt like he played like a 270 pounder and moved around the formation and stuff.
I'm just naming white defensive ends, but I'm trying to. No, it might not have been.
Campman was a similar
Campman
size.
Campman was about 275, 280. Yeah.
Wow, look at you. I said Trey Flowers.
But yeah.
Trey Flowers comparison. There we go.
That is the mock, though.
I think it's a good mock.
I ran through. Yeah, it was actually pretty good.
Not my best mock, or?
Yeah, I mean, it's right in the middle of.
Not the worst mock.
Not the worst mock.
As long as it's not the worst mock ever, then we're good. Man, this is good. Always appreciate your take.
Mm-hmm.
So we had little combine winners and losers, have the mock draft. I was saying we need a creative way for you and I to do a mock draft together. We'll just go back and forth. Should we do it on the podcast?
Yeah.
Do it on YouTube Live. There's a couple different ways we could do it.
We'll do it on podcast.
Maybe the podcast next week?
Yeah. We'll do like a post. We should do it post free agency. Do that.
Oh, that's a good call.
Yeah.
We'll just go back and forth.
The first week we'll do it.
What we would do.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be what we would do.
Yeah.
Right? Cool, man. Do you have any my guys this week? My guy's Justin Lane for the first time ever this week, Michigan State corner.
Yeah. Lane Long, like I said, he's my guy too. But my other my guy is Blake Cashman. After, like the tape.
Even with the little arms.
Little arms, but he tested off the charts. I mean, he tested better than someone like even Luke Kuechly, who tested excellently at the combine. The tape is very good. Very, plays with great balance ratio, I'll say. Maybe not. I'm not putting him on the Devin's level in terms of, obviously not there athletically, in terms of playmaking ability, but just solid all-around linebacker with coverage skills. I think he's going to be a good pro.
I'm going to, instead of having my guy, just position things a little bit differently. Guys, a couple guys should we be higher on? Okay. And when I say this, you know, our board is ever-evolving. We still discuss it, and part of it's just going back and breaking down all the numbers that we have. Mm-hmm. We don't just take a board and take our overall PFF grade and just roll with it because there's so much context in there. Chase Winovich, who's had great PFF grades and tested pretty well. Anthony Nelson from Iowa. So two edge defenders from the Big Ten who had really good PFF grades and tested pretty well at the combine. Mm-hmm. Right now we have them both in the second round mix. Should they be getting even more hype than that, or a second round even higher? Are we higher on them putting them in the second round, do you think?
I feel comfortable in the second round because both aren't. They tested great in terms of change of direction. Both aren't overly explosive players. And so explosion still matters along the defensive line from translating from college to the NFL. So there's question marks there just in terms of what their high end looks like. But I think they're solid NFL players, which is a second rounder to me.
And you and I, talk another Iowa defender, Amani Hooker, you and I have both watched him separately and just really liked what he brings to the table. I think he can do a ton of damage against tight ends. You know how much I love a guy that can cover a tight end.
Yeah.
You were watching him today. Where do you think we should have him ultimately on the board?
I think he's top of the second round type of guy.
Yeah.
It's a weak safety class, but I think he brings a lot to the table in terms of, not to stereotype like Iowa DBs, but you know, Adrian Amos, in terms of he's a split safety who's not a split field coverage safety, a quarter.
So Adrian was Penn State.
No, okay, so you're good. That's not who I'm.
So you're good.
Okay, we're good. Not to stereotype Big Ten safeties.
Big Ten safeties.
But he's very much a quarters split field sort of safety in that mold in terms of he can change directions, make plays. He's not going to be flying from sideline to sideline. He's not that level of athlete. He is just very solid in that, not getting just toasted a lot. Just very solid player.
So now when I'm building my defense, my 2-4-6 defense with the Bengals, play a lot of quarters on early downs. He fits my scheme there. And then on nickel downs, you're not going to play as much quarters when it comes to nickel and third down situations. I can have him become my tight end eraser.
Yes.
I love that combination. A guy that you could trust as a quarter safety, that means they need some run-stopping ability. They need the ability to at least be competent against receivers and tight ends in space, and then be able to play some man coverage against tight ends on third and long.
Yes, very much so.
Oh, that's a good valuable player.
Yeah.
I like it. That's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff, man. Is that it for today? I think that's it.
I'm good.
Let's wrap it up. Great stuff, Mike. Those are your combines winners and losers over at ProFootballFocus.com. Of course, not all of the data that we use here, but a large chunk of it is all out right now as part of your PFF Edge or Elite subscriptions. It's the PFF Draft Guide. You can get it for as little as $9.99 over at ProFootballFocus.com. So go and do that, and we'll be back. I'll be back with Sam Watson on Monday. So everybody have a great weekend. Quick break to tell you guys about NFL Game Pass, the only way that you can replay every game all season long. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. So every game that we're talking about right now, you guys can rewatch it after the fact. I'm going to be going back, and you guys can too. Go check out Lamar Jackson in week one. Go check out Dak Prescott and what that Cowboys offense actually did. Go check out Kyler Murray and his NFL debut. That's my favorite thing about NFL Game Pass. You can go back and watch at any time. And if you haven't watched a condensed game yet, you have to try it out. It's every play from the game back to back to back, so you can replay an entire NFL game in the fraction of the time it normally takes. It's how I'm able to follow all the MVP candidates, all the breakout stars, and of course your waiver wire pickups all season long. To see all the action this season and stay on top of all the big storylines, you need NFL Game Pass. Best of all, you can kick off the 2019 NFL season with a 7-day free trial of NFL Game Pass. Just sign up now at NFL.com/ProFootballFocusNFL.